thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapters 1 and 2. So we're going to kind of camp there our whole time this morning. Acts chapter 1 and 2. As you get ready, you also should have received some notes as you came in. Might want to pull those out so that you can follow along. We're going to talk about healthy habits for following Jesus. And let me tell you kind of like how this message came together. I was just thinking about the Easter time that was coming up, because I actually got the message before the Easter time. But my thoughts were toward the Easter time and expected what God was going to do. And then when I was finalizing my notes the weeks after Easter, I knew it was right on that God wanted to speak to us in this area. Not only do we celebrate one of the greatest Christian holidays, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we here at Faith have a special opportunity with that presentation of that illustrated sermon with music and drama. You know, we did six of those the week prior to Easter. We saw more than 500 people come to Christ for the first time. It was a wonderful experience. We handed out that many Bibles. And so that was exciting to see new believers. And then on the Easter Sunday, I had an opportunity to share my story. And we all have a story. If Christ has touched your life, of how he's brought you from where you were into a better life, a life filled with more hope and glory, for joy for sure. And as I thought about all of that, I thought, where do they go from here? And so you give your heart to Christ, and then what do you do next? And is there something that we should put in place in order for us to be successful or to have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ that continues on and on and on? And of course, we did everything that we thought we should do as a church, and the very next week we had a Taste of Faith and had a great representation. 40-some people came to that. And then the Alpha Course, which is going on now, Celebrate Recovery, down at Carr Street. And people came to that were just new believers. And that's one step of the first steps they could take. But how about for all of us? What is it that makes for healthy habits that will assure that we're going to follow Jesus? Now, I'm going to bring some verses up here that are not on your notes, but it kind of give you an overview. This concept of following Jesus appears some 24 times in the book of Matthew alone. And then the book of Mark is some 15 times. I didn't count the rest of them, but just in those verses where Jesus literally said the words, "Follow me." Let me kind of give you a little picture of that. First of all, the first verse is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Peter and Andrew are brothers. They're doing what they have done as a family for years and years. They're fishing around the Sea of Galilee. Jesus comes by, and he says to them, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." Now, they must have known about Christ, his reputation, and possibly that their hearts were always longing for the Messiah, and that Jesus was certainly giving an indication that he could have been the Messiah. So they follow him. It says that Peter and Andrew followed him. You remember Peter? Peter was the one that when he started following Jesus, he got all in. It was kind of like, "Here, I'm here." And he was passionate about his relationship. He was excited about it. He had zeal. And he stayed close to Jesus. But 3.5 years later, there's another verse. When Jesus was taken away from the garden down to his persecutors, and it says that Peter followed him at a distance. Now, that kind of jumped out at me. In the beginning, Peter was so close to him, but 3.5 years later, when there was a time of persecution, when a challenging moment came in their life, Peter followed him at a distance. And I had to ask myself the question, what is it that happens in a relationship that would distance you from what initially was such an exciting moment in your life? Let me move on to Mark chapter 2 and verse 14, where Jesus finds someone else named Matthew. And Matthew was a tax collector. Now, tax collectors weren't liked very much. Matter of fact, the scribes and the Pharisees said to Jesus, doesn't he realize that he's eating with tax collectors and sinners? And anytime you hear tax collectors, you hear the word sinners. So they were kind of put together. But yet Jesus said to Matthew, and there was something appealing, something that moved on his heart, where he left that profession, repented of what he was doing, and he followed Jesus. Later on in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, we get somewhat of a flavor of what it means to follow Jesus. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now we're beginning to get a kind of a picture that if you're to follow Jesus, you have to be intentional about it. It has to move past the excitement stage. It has to move past the newness. Well, this is a new thing, and I can see it. So you're moved to start following him, but the very fact that we're deny ourselves and take up our cross talks about intentionality, talks about putting some things in place that are going to make for this healthy following of Jesus. Another verse in Matthew chapter 10, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who loves father or mother, every one of us at that initial moment when we make a decision to follow Christ, have had someone, whether a close relative or a friend, that challenged that decision. I made that decision, and some family members might say, well, why are you doing that? And there seems that they challenge the decision, and the pressure is on you. Why aren't you doing the things you used to do? Or why did you stop doing what we used to do together? So you have that pressure, and you have to be intentional that you're saying, listen, I've decided that nothing's going to stop me from following Jesus. No relationship, nothing. One more verse, Matthew chapter 19. If you want to be perfect, he says this to a rich man who was a follower of the law. He said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. And then you're going to have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. That rich man walked away sorrowful because he had many possessions. So there was something that rich man, he could not make that choice. He could not step over that barrier. He didn't cross that line, and it held him back. What would hold you back? Or what would distance you from Jesus? That's why this message. I want to give you four healthy habits that I believe, if you're intentional about these things, they're very practical. There's nothing profound about these at all, but they come out of that first days, if you will, weeks, months, when you had the first believers come to know Christ. What did they do that made for healthy relationship and following Jesus? I'm going to give you four of them. They come out of Acts chapter 1 and 2. Acts chapter 1, the first one. They were told to wait on the Spirit. They were told to wait on the Spirit. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Jesus had given them this promise back in the book of Luke. He said, you must stay in the city until you are given power from heaven. Well, we know that they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They needed that power to move out. But was there some other intention that Jesus had in telling them to wait those 40 days? Because, you see, they were ready to go. And here's, let me tell you why they were ready to go. It tells us in the Bible that Jesus appeared to some 500 people after his resurrection. I want you to think about that for a moment. What would have been like to be one of those 500? That you witness, either visually witness, or you were there in the city where Jesus was taken. He was hung on a cross. He died. He was put in a tomb. And then it was 3 days later, but I mean, you come to know this, say a week later, or he shows up. What would that do to you? I don't know, but if you attended a funeral and you witness all that taking place and that person that was buried all of a sudden shows up a week later, would that get your heart going a little bit? I mean, you would think, I got to tell somebody about this. I mean, you have something to share that you witnessed yourself. Well, that's what they had. They had this experience to share. They were ready to go. Just let me go. I saw Jesus. And not only was he a friend or a teacher, but he was the Messiah. The Messiah has come. We saw him. He's alive. Just like he said, he would be raised from the dead. But still, Jesus said, and it's kind of like it's not pulling the rug out from under them, but kind of deflating that balloon a little bit to wait, because Jesus knew that don't move out on your own initiative, but you need to learn, and here's the habit, learn how to wait on God's Spirit. On a regular basis, develop a habit of waiting and not moving out on your own. How do you do this? How do you come to do this? Well, first of all, you got to form a habit of waiting. Form a habit of waiting. Let me tell you, I'll give you three things of form a habit. Know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, it tells us the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It tells us that he's our helper, he's our teacher, he's our reminder, he's our guide, he's our foreteller, he's our glorifier, he's our sharer. Jesus said when the Spirit comes, this is what the Spirit will do. Now, there's a reason for waiting on the Spirit of God. I need a helper. How many needs a helper? I need a teacher. I need a reminder. He would remind us of the things that Jesus taught me. Man, we can sit here and we can hear a message, but how many know that the world comes crashing in on us sometimes by Wednesday, and we need to be reminded what Jesus taught us? The Holy Spirit is there to teach us, to remind us of those things. So it's to our benefit. It's a healthy habit to learn how to wait so that he'll guide me through this life. He's a foreteller. Let me give you the second one now. How do we form a habit? Okay, here you go. How do we form this habit? Number two, going back to it. Acknowledge him before moving out. In the most simplistic of all ways, acknowledge him. How do you do that? When you wake up in the morning, one of the first things you should do is somehow acknowledge God's presence in your life. Here's what I do. Good morning, Lord. I do it. I have a habit of getting up. One of the first things I say, good morning, Lord. Now, to me, that's been a benefit. It just reminds me immediately that God's given me the ability to get up this morning and have a day. I don't know what the day is going to hold, but I acknowledge the Holy Spirit. But even go further than that, a habit. You know, you can have bad habits and you can have good habits. But a good habit is of acknowledging him before moving out, before making a decision, like on the job. In that simple little prayer, God, before I make this decision, would you guide me? And that's all you have to say. Sometimes I jump into my studies and I open the Bible and I get into study, and then the Holy Spirit reminds me, I didn't even take time to pray. Now, I'm not saying that you have to take hours or 2 hours to pray before every decision, but a simple prayer. And now I've developed this habit. Even when I open the Bible, I say, Lord, help me as I go through my study. And that's what I say. And, you know, I believe God honors that, because I'm acknowledging the Holy Spirit. I'm acknowledging his presence. And here's also what I'm doing. I'm kind of stepping outside of my own energies, my own strength, my own dependency on those strengths and energies that didn't work for me before. Why would they work for me now? So if I'm going to have a healthy habit and relationship of following Jesus, I'm going to wait on the Spirit. I'm going to know the ministry, acknowledge, and then practice listening for his voice. God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to every one of his children. Every believer, we're told that the Holy Spirit will speak to you in that small, you know, the Bible describes his voice as a small, still voice. That means that he's not always going to come shouting into your life to shout over every other voice that's in your life. So shut down the other voices and listen for the Spirit's voice. Get rid of all those distractions that are speaking into your life and just listen for the Holy Spirit's voice to hear that small, still voice. It's a very practical thing, but I think that's the first thing that they did. They waited. They had to learn how to wait. Second of all, look with expectation for Christ's return. As you set out to follow him, don't lose sight that Jesus Christ is going to return someday soon in the future. Now, how is this a benefit? Let me go to the scripture. In verse 11 of Acts 1, the two angels that came and stood beside those early believers when Jesus ascended into heaven said this: "This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So immediately, he's ascending into heaven, departing from them. It must have been a moment of, you know, kind of soberness for them that this Jesus, he's going, but these angels remind him he's going to come back. We need to be reminded, as you make your way through life and following Jesus, to protect yourself from distancing yourself, not only to wait, but look for the fact that he's going to return someday. How do you do that? How do you form a habit of looking? Number one, you form a habit of hold on to his promises. Hold on to his promises. That means you should know his promises. Hold on to his promises. He promised that he's going to depart, but he's going to come back again. Just as surely as he came the first time, he's going to come the second time. So I hold on to that promise. I make it part of a habit. I develop a habit of reminding myself on a daily basis that he's coming back again. Remember his faithfulness. Been faithful to you before. He's going to be faithful to you in the future. He's going to be faithful to his word. And then last of all, realize we only have so much time. So whatever you might come up against in this life, in following Jesus, setting your heart to follow Jesus, that you realize we're only here for a short period of time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory? Isn't it in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes?" There's a hope that he's going to come someday. And you know, the hope ought to be, and the joy is not that he's going to deliver me out of this world, that I'm going to escape, I'm not going to have to put up with all the junk anymore. I mean, that's certainly a benefit. But you know what the hope and joy is? I'm going to look my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the face. I'm going to be in the presence of my Lord, the one that I've come to know and love and understand, the one who delivered me and has given me this new life. I am now going to be in his presence. I want to tell you, that's a good habit to have, looking, waiting on the Spirit, looking for his return. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, talking about those heroes of faith, both the men and women who lived their life filled with faith and trust in God. It says, having seen them, these promises, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. I mean, even though the promises weren't yet fulfilled, they embraced them and confessed them on a regular basis, reminded themselves, listen, I'm only here for a short period of time. That's a healthy habit of following Jesus. It's going to keep you close to him so that you don't distance yourself. Romans chapter 13 says, knowing that the time is short, cast off those works of darkness and walk in the light. So I only have a short period of time. I don't know what it is, but I certainly don't want to go back to those old works of darkness, but I want to walk in the light. Thirdly, important one, change the focus of your life. A healthy habit that if you haven't already done it, you need to do it, or you will distance yourself in this relationship with Christ. Change the focus of your life. You see, the focus I had on my life before I knew Christ was certainly not one for the kingdom of God. It wasn't one of desiring to be in his presence. It wasn't one of desiring to be close to him. I wasn't focused on that. You know what I was focused on? Myself. My own little kingdom. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to change your focus. If you haven't done it, you need to do it. Look at these verses where it says, in Matthew chapter 16, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, what? All right, change the focus. You got to start denying yourself and take up his cross. In other words, intentional about, there's some things I'm going to have to die to. Some things that I were focused on before I knew Christ, that I'm going to have to die to those things if I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to have to, instead of seeking those things that just for me and for my family, and what was the early church? The early church changed their focus, whereas they all had responsibilities. This is what I'm trying to say, is that here were 500 and then 3,000 people came to know Christ. They all had jobs. They had responsibilities. They had families to raise, but yet they changed their focus from just those responsibilities, and it became kingdom responsibility. It became the family's responsibilities. Verse 25 says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit in a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? What is worth it? Anything of giving up our own soul, changing the focus. Acts chapter 2. Look at these verses, verse 41 through 46. Follow along as I read them. And you begin to get a picture of what these early believers did, something worth following, each and every one of us. Chapter 2, verse 41 says this. It says that many who testified and were saved that day, then verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Notice the focus as it was changing. Their priorities were changing. In the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they met in gatherings like this. But that wasn't enough. They begin to meet, fellowship, house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. You see where their focus changed? Sure, they had responsibilities. Sure, they had their own life, but it changed. If you're going to follow Jesus, if you're truly going to stay close to Jesus, then you need to stay close to the things that are on his heart. And what is on his heart is the body of Christ, all of the believers coming together. What's on his heart is the kingdom of God and how we are going to impact the kingdom of God. And God knows that the best way to impact the kingdom of God is begin to come together, begin to do things together, be a witness together. Here are three things, and it's really the theme of our day. They connected together. That's what they did. They connected together. They served together. And then they grew together. They connected together. They served together. They grew together. It was so obvious that their focus now was of being together. And yet we live in a culture, and here's what we have to be more intentional about fighting. We live in a culture of independency. We live in a culture of taking care of our world and just that little world around us. And yet in following Jesus, it ought to change totally. It moves us from a culture that takes us away from independency into being together. So you have to be intentional about it. That's why the purpose of Connect, Serve, and Grow is to bring people, connect them so they can serve together, so they can grow together, so that, we can impact our community as the church that's alive. Last Friday, we had a party. How many had an opportunity to come to the party last Friday? We announced it for several weeks up to Friday. We said anyone who has volunteered over the past years in any way whatsoever, we want you to come and we want to say thank you. We're going to have a party. So we came together. I didn't realize it was one of the most impactful events that I ever attended at Faith Bible Chapel. It was just a time. And what I saw is more than just what we were doing. I saw the church. I saw the church alive. I saw people who once had different focus in mind, and now they were focused on one another. We were working together. As a result of it, we grew as a church. We have a little video that gives you a little bit of taste of what happened here last Friday night. Watch this video. Healthy habit in following Jesus, staying close to Him, is to connect together, to serve together, and to grow together. I want to tell you, there are forces working against you that will try to keep you from connecting, serving, and growing. Because the benefit of it is impacting a world around us. And there's nothing like impacting the world. But also, and here's the thing. Remember the verse we read? He who's going to gain his life must lose his life. And the whole principle and point there is that if you want to really gain your life, you need to lose it. Lose it to the old focus of being on self. And you gain life by refocusing in on the kingdom of the things of God. And it's amazing. The energies that you think you need to put into making it work for yourself and for your family Instead of putting all those energies in and burning yourself out, by putting more energies into what's on God's heart and the kingdom and serving, connecting, and growing together, these other needs are met. It's almost like in a supernatural way, God said, I'll take care of those needs. You refocus your life. Habit of waiting, habit of looking for his return, keep that always before us, and then a habit of just refocusing our life, connecting, serving together. And one more I want to give you. Share your new life. The very last verse of chapter 2, it says that they were praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Listen, as we do this together, God adds to the church. And what I've seen through the years of being involved in this ministry is that this family that grows together, we've seen people come to, they're drawn, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. You have love one for another. Would you stand with me?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.